Thank you very much. I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors, David Lewis, who's assistant professor of ecology at Florida, Jason Kay, who's assistant professor of soil biogeochemistry at Penn State, and Shuer Diker, who's associate professor of soil physics at Penn State. There are additional, you'll see their names later. This was a huge project with lots of fingers in the pie, I guess. It was developed as a result of an organic organic weed management study, looking at pest management and soil quality in a transitional system. It encompassed about 8 acres at our research farm in Rock Springs. The purpose was to look at organic feed grain production, focusing on weeds and soil quality, and it was an integrated project of research, teaching, and extension. It was not a comparison of organic versus conventional systems. And if I can get, so this is the site, and as you look at the, this portion of the slide, you see that some parts of the soil conditions existing down around roughly 40 centimeters, 50 centimeters, are evidencing themselves. Here, this would be roughly our block number 3. It was a block treatment. And here, this would be a block number 2. We have 2 time frames that we started this experiment. So in this portion of the area, we started in 1 year. And then the following year, we used this portion to start a duplicate study. And so see some data from both of those areas. As I mentioned, this is a transition project, and it brought together an awful lot of people from IPM, Ag Econ, extension folks, horticulture, entomology, farm managers, members of NGOs. So we had lots of people providing guidance to how the project should be done. This two-phase field experiment. Phase one was a one-year preparatory phase to reduce the weed seed bank. The phase two was then a two-year feed grain crop production. And we were looking at weeds, we were looking at soil arthropod response, productivity, and economics. In year one, we had a cover crop that was either rye or Timothy red clover. And then that was followed after 1 year growing time period. That year one was followed by 2 tillage treatments, either a minimum tillage treatment with really basically a chisel plow or a conventional treatment moldboard plow. So remember, this is organic production, and so they have issues with weed control. So they're looking at, can we minimize the amount of tillage that we do by looking at a chisel plow versus a conventional tillage. In year two, then, soybeans were grown, and in year three, we grew maize. This gives you an example of the comparison of the tillage from full-till moldboard plow versus minimum tillage from chisel plow. A number of soil quality measures were looked at. I won't cover all these, obviously. What our interest in this project with respect to what's called S-theory is soil matrix potential and soil gravimetric water content. So in 2003, Dexter published in Geoderma a concept of using the slope of the soil water retention curve at its inflection point to serve as an index of soil physical quality. He then applied the Van Genugten equation for water retention, which basically just says that the relative amount of water in the soil, this left-hand side of the equation, can be expressed in terms of a exponential function. The slope of that curve then is what he uses as S, and he actually uses the modulus of it so that S is a positive number. And the slope of that curve then is fairly easily calculated. He defines his water contents as gravimetric water contents at saturation and the residual gravimetric water content. The Van Genugten equation generally looks at moisture release, and we're thinking in terms of volumetric water contents. But Dexter was using gravimetric. So again, this is what the field looked like before it started. We had two cover crops in year one, then tillage and two different kinds of tillages, practices for soybeans in year two and field corn in year three. When we took soil samples then to look at this S value, the moisture release curve and the calculated S value, those samples were taken at the end of the cover crop, just before tillage, and then at the end of the harvest for corn in year three. So the two time periods are going to be year one, which is at the end of year one, and year three, which is at the end of year three. So we're making comparisons in that regard. So as mentioned, both Timothy clover and rye were planted about a year before the first set of soil samples were collected for the soil water characteristic curve. Initial soil samples for rye were taken about 2 days before the rye was moldboard plowed in August of 2004, and initial soil samples for Timothy were taken in December of 2004. So the first thing you notice is the time frame for the sampling was different. You can imagine there's different things going on in the soil with respect to total water content. Then in spring of 2005, tillage occurred, and again spring of 2006, tillage occurred prior to soybean and corn planting. And as mentioned, soil samples were taken for year three of start one after corn harvest. Then similar kind of thing occurred 1 year after this for what we call start two. So we have start one and start two. Now one of the challenges faced has to do with people power and has to do with decisions made along the way. I was brought into this process somewhat late in the process, and so we're dealing with the results of data that were obtained earlier on. Initially, in year one, only water contents at tensions of zero, so saturation, 1/3 bar, 1 bar, 3 bars, 15 bars were obtained, okay, under pressure plate conditions for the each of those, 1/3, 1, 3, and 15. At year three, data was collected, what we call a full data set, and we had then been able to add water contents and at matrix tensions or matrix potentials of 10, 30, 50, 70, and 90 centimeters of tension. Okay, so we have an abbreviated data set, a full data set, creating some challenges for us. So an implication of the abbreviated data set is that we're limited to the number of parameters we can estimate from the Van Genuchten equation. We want to estimate saturated water content, residual water content, and those parameters M, alpha, and N that are used in the equation. But we only have 5 data points, so we can't estimate 5 parameters. So we impose this M equals 1 minus 1 over N relationship, which is consistent with what Van Genuchten had actually done when he developed the model. This gives you an idea of what one set of data might look like. So this is the water content versus the log of the pressure head. These data points at basically 10, 30, 50, 70, 90 centimeters are missing from the abbreviated data sets. This is another example just showing where those abbreviated data sets would be lacking data. So first thing was, can we use abbreviated data sets and draw similar conclusions? Are we going to get the same slope of the line, slope of the curve, as it were? And using a full data set from start two, year three, versus the abbreviated data set, that same set of numbers, we basically found that we had an R-squared of 0.81, so we had pretty good correlation. The full data set actually gave a value of about 10% higher than the abbreviated data set. So there was a little bit of impact on the S value calculated as a result of the abbreviated data set, but that's what we were left with to deal with. Any of you who read the abstract and saw how upbeat it was and excited we were about what we were seeing, that abstract was based on the full data set. So here's some results. This is at 0 to 10 centimeter depth. We took samples 0 to 10 10 to 20, 20 to 30 centimeters, and we looked at the relationship between soil water content and matrix potential. These are the data then for year one of the first start, okay, the first set of treatments we had, and basically this value of S is lower in the timothy as a cover crop as opposed to rye as our cover crop. Okay. We also see that that's under full till. Under minimum till, we see the same kind of situation that rye gives us a little bit higher value of S than does timothy. At this point, at which these samples were taken, however, we haven't done any tillage. So these are just four different, basically two replications of rye, two replications of timothy, okay, over and above the blocks. If we go to that those same plots then in year three at that same depth, I can't get the point. We actually see that under rye, the value of S was pretty much the same as what it was for full till prior to tillage. Under timothy, the S value actually increased. Under rye, the value in minimum till, the value was about the same. And under timothy, again, it seemed to increase. And so we actually saw a statistically significant increase for the samples that were collected from the 0 to 10 centimeter depth, that the S value significantly increased for timothy, whether it's under full till or minimum till. Okay, so it seemed to be an improvement depending upon whether we were looking at timothy or rye. We saw some separation of those means by depth, and certainly at the lower depths where we run into the B horizon, we got statistically significant lower values of S. Also, that was in start one. In start one and start two, those values of S were statistically different as well. So two sets of plots separated by roughly 20 meters or so, basically corridor between the plots, had huge differences in what the values of S were. We also see that under timothy and rye, on average, we get a little bit lower value of S at the deeper depths, but not at the surface. So the 0 to 10 and 10 to 20 centimeters, we're getting about the same values of S. Now, just for reference point, Dexter says or recommended that if we have a value about 0.035 or less, that's a poor quality indicator. And if it's a value of 0.05 or greater, that means the soil quality is probably good. We aren't using those cutoffs. What we were just doing, we were looking at, are we identifying some changes? Just to wrap up, give you a sense, there was a difference in terms of organic carbon, as we'd be expected under the different kinds of cover crop treatments and tillage. And there were yield differences. We didn't see any significant difference in yield from soybeans, but certainly significantly lower yields of corn under the minimum tillage as opposed to full till. So summary, there's significant difference in S at the 20 to 30 centimeter depth compared with shallower depths. And there was a significant difference in S at the 0 to 10 centimeter depth due to cover crop from year 1 to year 3 and start 1. We did not see that difference in start 2. And finally, yields were not necessarily correlated with any of the measures that we collected with respect to soil quality. Thank you very much.
We have time for one question.
Yeah, two questions. The first one is, were you using Red Seed to calculate Red Seed? You know the Red Seed developed by Bank of Richland, the program.
Right, RATC, right.
The RATC,
right.
Were you using that to generate the curves?
Yes, we were.
Okay. Then the second one is, did you correlate the S values with other well-established soil quality indicators? I know you did organic matter, but things like aggregate scattering.
Yes, so we have not done that correlation yet. We have all that data. We have not looked at that yet.
I think it would be interesting to do that.
It would be a very interesting study.
Insight.
Yes, thank you.